My guest is Tracy Ullman. She's a singer, dancer, actress, comedienne, and currently the star of her own television show on the Fox Broadcasting Network. Tracy Ullman now lives in Los Angeles, but she grew up in London, or just outside of London, and began her career as a dancer on British television variety shows. She went on to appear in West End musicals, playing Frenchie in Grease and Janet in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. In 1981, Tracy Ullman won the London Theatre Critics' Most Promising Actress Award for her performance as Beverly, a bizarre nightclub singer in a mostly improvisational play called Four in a Million at the Royal Court Theatre. She roller skated in a workshop production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Starlight Express, but she turned down the chance to go with the show to London's West End and instead made her film debut in Paul McCartney's Give My Regards to Broad Street. Tracy Ullman then earned the critics' praise for her appearance alongside Meryl Streep in the movie Plenty. Tracy Ullman has also had 10 singles in the British pop charts. Her song You Broke My Heart in 17 Places went gold. British television viewers have seen Tracy Ullman on several very funny shows, Three of a Kind, A Kick Up the 80s, and Girls on Top. And her new half-hour character comedy variety series on American television, The Tracy Ullman Show, has just been renewed for a second season by the Fox Broadcasting Network. Tracy Ullman, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello. And a right little clever dick she is. What a little clever clog she is. God, what else do I do?
That's it. It doesn't seem like there's much left.
What's your favorite recipe? Do you have knitting patterns you can talk about?
How did you get started in this business?
How did you get started in this business?
Listen, are you surprised at all by the success of this Tracy Ullman show? I mean, the second season on American TV.
Well, I hope it's a success. I really don't know. You get sort of conflicting reports. And it's nice. I've just been to England for a month, and it was great because I came back, and instead of like the normal, okay, why are you trying to bring it to the country and maybe a strip search, it was like, hello, how's your show? It's so funny. You could talk about me on your show. I just doing my best and hoping it's catching on, and I don't know. Is it catching on? I hope so.
You've been getting some interesting reviews. I mean, there was a big review in, Vanity Fair. You were described as someone who has a brain that races across the radio dial and a voice that broadcasts in stereo. And I think, actually, that's a compliment.
That's nice. I remember someone described me once as Minnie Mouse on methadone. For one of my records, instead of saying, like, I can't break away, now you make me fast. So, yes, it's good. It's a good response.
How'd you get the show? Did someone sort of grab you and say, Tracy, we're going to make you a star?
I really wanted to do something on American television, and it's tough. It's the same as in England. There's really 2% of the business here, the business love, there is any great quality. And I decided that I wanted to do television or films with Jim Brooks or Woody Allen. I made a list. There's two people on it. There you go. So Woody wouldn't keep Mia out of his bloody movies. I'm saying, now listen here, Woody. So he wouldn't have me in his movies. So I got taken under Jim Brooks's wing, which is a very good wing to be taken under because he's done so much on so many wonderful shows, especially for women, like the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Rhoda. And then he did Taxi and, of course, his wonderful film, Terms of Endearment.
And all that. Not too shabby.
Very powerful women in that.
Yeah.
And he has a great love and enthusiasm for things that he's never lost. He's not like one of those elusive Hollywood producers now who's so successful you can't ever talk to him. He still has a great enthusiasm for things. And so he wanted to do a show and... we didn't want to do a situation comedy because I'd been through all that whole thing of, like, all the networks, it seemed, wanted was a really nice show where Tracy's a British nanny and she solves problems and she helps cute kids and maybe she has a sidekick, you know? And it was just all care and share, mush and that. So we decided to do a variety show because there hasn't been many variety shows done recently, have they? I mean, it seemed like they got to the point where it was always like... It was like, you know, it's Shirley like Bassey on a speedboat on the Everglades in a fur coat singing Goldfinger. And then it was Luciano Pavarotti and a few fountains and a few girls in Atlantic City. Yeah. And so, it was good to do a variety show again.
It's been described as a skit-com because you've got several running characters in there and you've also got blackout sketches. Mm-hmm. But it's not just sort of funny ha-ha. There's a lot of characters that are done... that are a little bit meatier than that. There's, for lack of a better word, a message going on, something
yes.
a little deeper.
Yes, because and in the show, we don't do parodies of other television shows or, laugh at commercials or soap operas or anything. And that's a conscious decision because that always dates a show. We're trying to make timeless television, you know. Yes, I mean, the show doesn't necessarily have to be funny ha-ha all the time, exactly, you know. It's just to try and get a bit of depth, a bit of meaning, a bit of reality to things, which there doesn't seem to be a lot of on television, does it, really?
One sketch.
But don't worry, I'm not doing, like, a workshop by myself. I'm one of those serious people.
One sketch that sticks in my mind is one you did about a very elderly, fading actress who's been signed to do a commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes through this whole method, and you really have this empathy for her. Is she going to make it? And by the end of it, she's got this standing ovation, and the tears are coming down the eyes.
That was prompted, funny enough, by Barbara, what's this called, Belle Geddes, the Dallas lady that does that soup commercial. And it's so sincere. And they look at the camera and hearty, thick, warm broth for my husband because I love him. And it's like that sincerity with older people. They put them in a nice sort of like pale blue turtleneck. And they, it's good to do that.
You do an impeccable American accent.
I'm like a parrot. I pick up accents. I love accents. I was always interested in doing all British accents. If I couldn't do an accent, I used to like find a show that would take me to that place so I could live there. Like in England, there's this industrial northern town called Newcastle. No one would ever want to go there, but I wanted to go there so I could learn the accent, you know. And I love accents. I've lived here for 3 years, really, on and off, so you do learn to pick up the accents.
Is it true that you went to malls and taped people talking?
Yeah, I do. I was always listening to people, just listening to people in the... I mean, the great thing about not being known here is I'm, you know, so anonymous. I just stand around in shops and listen to accents. Whereas in England, it got to the point where if I tried to listen to someone in a shop, they get completely paranoid. Oh, you're going to copy me. She's going to do my voice. Oh, look at her. So I'm like, weirdo. So it's been... but I get all the girls on the show, anyone I meet, I just say, if they have an interesting voice, I say, would you tape it for me? And so they go, oh, yeah. The funniest thing is listen to them on the tapes and they go, oh, hi, I'm reading from a book. I feel really stupid. What do I talk about? Okay, I'll read from a book and then you can listen to my accent. I feel really stupid. And it's them saying things like that that you get the accent from.
That,
you know,
sounds like Francesca, your 14-year-old character.
Oh, yes, Francesca. She's based on a neighbour of mine. But, oh, God, I better not say it's my neighbour, apparently. Well, I've said it now. And I wanted to do somebody with having a painful adolescence. I was lucky. I didn't have a very painful adolescence. My sister did. She had to stand behind my mother's back and talk through my mother for 3 years. She was so shy.
Was she older or younger?
She's also covering the acne, you know. She had such a painful adolescence. She's older. And so I wanted to play a young girl with the braces on the teeth and the... You know, that, because I always had one of those mothers that would go, if you're worried about the size of your breasts, then tell the doctor. Mom, don't say this, is like so embarrassing, you know, that sort of thing. What do you mean your breasts aren't big enough? Tell the doctor. My mum was one of those mums.
But Francesca doesn't have a mother in this sketch. She lives with
that's
her father
true.
And her father's lover.
Yes, that's what makes such an interesting continuing character. We must find out whatever happened to her mother, because Francesca's father is gay and he lives with his lover, William. So she goes, this is my dad and this is my William. And she's a nice kid, actually, Francesca. She's come out as a really sort of nice kid.
Another running character you have on the show is Kay.
Oh, yes, Kay.
She's a secretary in an office, and she's the kind of person that wears polyester cardigans.
Yeah, you know the nice... There's probably one in this office that they sell the girls sanitary napkins and stamps. You know, those sort of nice ladies that... They'll never get married. They turn up on their little motorcycles every day, and they come in wearing a little motorcycle head. Oh, my golly gosh, that freeway was busy today, and it got blown off twice. And they're just those sweet people. They'll never, you know, they have these... And then she has a very sick mother at home, but her mother's not sick. She's 4 years old and moaning. She'll never ever let Kay leave home, and so she has to phone her mother all the time, and it's and she goes, hello mummy, it's Kay. And you can just imagine her mother, Kay, I feel terrible, I've been sitting here all morning. And they just devote their life to their parent. Yeah. I used to talk to a lady in a bank in England that sounded just like that, and that's how I based the character. She would say things like, I spoke to her from Hollywood, she'd go, hello, Miss Ullman, how's Hollywood? You didn't see Bette Davis today, did you? Oh, I love those movies. They're marvellous, those people, aren't they? But there you go, all the glitter and razzle. How can I help you? You know anything.
When you're working with the writers...
Take her there.
Yeah, when you're working with the writers on the show, you've got people like Heidi Perlman from Cheers and Ken Esten from Taxi. And when you were working on shows in London, you also had a good core of people that you were working with, people like Ben Elton as a writer and yeah. Actresses like Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French and Ruby Wax and the great late Joan Greenwood.
Joan Greenwood, yes.
Whom you worked on. Is there a kind of improvisational portion of the creative process when you're creating this sort of TV show? Do you sort of throw everything out there and then start drawing back filtering out what's good, what can stay, what works, what doesn't.
It's, yep, I mean, just these shows just take a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and lots of ideas all the time. I mean, just Julie Kavner, the actress in the show with me, is wonderful because you talk all the time. If you get on with people, you have a laugh, you have a good time, and you try out voices and situations, and then you can suggest stuff and it works. It's a very hard show to do, doing a variety show, because we haven't got our situation comedy set, you know, our stairway and our sofa, and so therefore, you know, you have to think of stuff every week, and no one's got used to doing this show because we don't have the same set every week, we don't have the same characters, so you have to bounce off each other all the time to think of new things. Julie's great. I mean, people may, obviously she's one of your wonderful TV people, Brenda Morgenstern in Rhoda.
Right.
And,
but she's never.
I love her voice. And just by being Julie Kavner, you know how Julie Kavner talks? Julie was in London recently. It's like Tracy, Trafalgar Square. It's amazing, man. The lions are so big. Man, I just couldn't believe it. You know, it's crazy. And for me, liking her and doing her voice so much, we wrote a sketch where I became Julie. You know, you just. And it's just by, you know, communicating and caring and sharing with each other so much that you think of ideas.
You have some characters that I have heard are based on experiences that you've had. You played this very hot kind of Latino dancer who was sort of in, there's a show in England called the Come Dancing show.
Don't you just miss it?
Oh, very much, very much. Where they had the Latin finals.
Dun, dun, dun. She's sewn all the sequins on herself, and here comes Betty. She's a hairdresser with her own mobile van. And here comes Derek. He's a trainee ambulance man. They're always trainee ambulance man. And he makes all his own suits.
Well, you came
Seems
out...
Seems like a nice boy.
You came out and did the sketch about this Latin dancer who had forgotten a vital piece of her clothing.
Yeah, that happened to me. I was a dancer, and I went on stage once. I didn't have any underpants on, and it's always been a horror story that I've recounted to people, and I recounted it to the writers, and they wrote a piece about it, and so we sort of hammed it up a lot, I suppose, in the action. But it was true. I remember coming in from the beach. I was a dancer in one of those awful summer shows in England. It was like raining outside. I came in, and I forgot to put my top pants on. I went on stage and I'm dancing through this routine. It was like the old da 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 horrible music. And I just realized I thought, I feel so light and airy and I had no pants on. So I had to try and tell my male dance partner, who was about to throw me up in the air upside down, that I had no underpants on. And I was going, I've got no panties on, don't throw me in the air.
Did he?
So, yes, he did. And the first few rows sort of. Got him a shock, but so it eventually, you know, ends up on the as a piece.
Hysterical. My guest is Tracy Ullman. She's a singer, an actress, comedian. She currently has her own show on the Fox Broadcasting Network, and you have to perform almost on different levels, or you have throughout your career. Now you tape before a live audience. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
As well as do a monologue.
We film before. We've got. It's a four-camera film show, which gives it a lovely quality.
Mm-hmm. And then you do your monologue at the end, where you come out and actually are yourself in front of an audience. Are you comfortable doing that?
I wasn't at first because I have never been, and I don't think I could ever be, because it's such a scary thing to do, a stand-up comedian. I can't. You know, I'd find that I didn't want to ever come out and start falling into that sort of phraseology where they start going, ah, hi, girls. Is it, like, really hard to find a guy in this town, or is it just me? You know, that sort of, like, stand-up comic type stuff. And the airways, they're just the worst. Let me tell you about I lost my luggage. You know, that sort of stuff. I thought, God, I can't come out and do that because I've never done that. And so if we made stuff up for me to say as myself, it would seem like a stand-up routine. And I can't talk about stuff that didn't really happen.
But those segments are written by someone. I see the credits at the end.
Yes, some of them. Well, it's really just, I go out there and I just talk about anything, just something that happened today, or just...
I remember a touching monologue about your husband's golf clothes.
Yeah, well, that's true. My husband's golf, you know, yeah. Mr. Polyester himself. No, the golfers wear horrible stuff. They're the over-logoed crowd. No, he wears, like, polyester mixed up. No, my husband wears horrible stuff. It's called Cashmelon. He's got these sweaters, and they're not cashmere, and they're not Orlon, so they're Cashmelon.
They're horrible. They're pink madras, right? Pink plaid or lime green plaid.
Oh, yeah,
plaid
he wears
all
that, sort of stuff, yeah.
My guest is Tracy Ullman. She is a singer, a dancer. We've talked about her acting, her being very funny, and starring in her own television show on the Fox Broadcasting Network. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is Fresh Air. Tracy Ullman is my guest on Fresh Air, and we've talked a lot now about your television show and about your comedy, and we haven't really spoken that much about your career as a singer. I mean, after all, 10 singles on the British pop charts is pretty good, I should think. And in order to give everybody just a bit of a taste of the kind of things that you actually do in your own records and the kind of things you parody on The Tracey Ullman Show, we're going to play a little song called Move Over, Darling. That's Tracey Ullman, Move Over, Darling. She's my guest on Fresh Air. You said that's a long time ago you recorded that song.
Yeah, that was my singing career.
I imagine you in little white go-go boots and sort of going down Carnaby Street.
I used to do all that stuff because there was just a time I was doing my own, with two other guys, a comedy show, and because I sang a lot, and I said, oh, let's make some records. So I thought, why not the old Midas touch at the moment? And it was, I didn't really belong in the recording world, but I did it sort of tongue in cheek. But it wasn't stupid. I mean, songs were sort of semi serious, but I treated it with a lot of humour. And I used to do videos, with big platform boots on, and
you did a video,
the white go-go boots running down Carnaby Street. And I took a '60s theme to it all because my favourite singers had been '60s singers: Dusty Springfield, Sandy Shaw, Lulu, all those type of people, Brenda Lee, As I say, it was semi-serious because everyone knows you're miming when you go on these, solid gold type shows. I used to sing into a hairbrush,
No.
What's the point of giving you a microphone? You know they're not singing for real. You know they're not. And I used to sing into a hairbrush. People felt a bit odd, but
did you do that when you were a child?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, that's what you used to do.
I think
in front
we all
of the
did.
Mirror. Yeah, of course you did.
The band roll on
the
other
end. Yes. Because it looked like a microphone. And don't get too close. You might get it on your lips. And it would taste horrible.
No, I kept the cap on. I do Petula Clark songs and that sort of thing. You do a lot of pop songs in The Tracey Ullman Show. Are they easier to parody? I mean, you could sing the song straight, but put it in a context that's totally removed from what the song is actually saying. One I remember that you're doing, I'm Different. You were sort of an elderly lady trying out for a heavy metal band.
Oh, yeah. I was like a Christy Minstrel type, the type that usually sing
up with
memory,
people.
I must live for the daylight. Enunciate your words. You know, one of those back of the stalls type singers, a Broadway show type person. And, auditioned for a heavy metal band. And it could have become preposterous, that. But if you believe enough in your characters and all that, it doesn't become preposterous. That has been a hard way to put the songs, because we don't want to just like, and here's Tracy Ullman singing her flogging to death her new hit single, so you'll go out and buy it and make lots of money for her. So we tried, you know, using songs in the context of suddenly in a sketch the character would start to sing, and sometimes it can work. It worked very well on a piece we did of a girl, a Broadway actress who just had never got a job, and she was trying to kill herself by jumping off a ledge. She was going to finally make a big splash on Broadway. And then a policeman arrives who is called the jumper specialist, and he takes off his coat and he goes on the ledge with her and he dances and sings with her, makes her not want to kill herself. And that worked. But
the song that you did with that was
If She Knew What She Wants, the Bangles song.
Right.
And I was sort of being thrown all over the place, and that was great because I got to do a bit of dancing there too.
But you have been taken seriously in the pop world. I mean, after all, you had Neil Kinnock, the Labour leader, in one of your videos.
That's true, yes. It's like having Walter Mondale. That's the equivalent here. Sounds exciting, huh? In your video.
I'm not sure any of our politicians would do something like that.
I know. That's what was... He got a hell of a pounding for it in the press, and so did I. But
really,
I don't know. I mean, it endeared him to the younger voters.
Yeah. Do you think, having done comedy over in England and now doing it here, are there limits to the satire that you can do? The censorship is different over there than it is here. I think you can get away with a lot more.
But yes, I think so. I think that but they've almost gone too far there, because there isn't much censorship. I mean, Monty Python was funny. When you think about it, in 1972, when Monty Python was happening, people were like playing the piano and having their hands cut off and blood going everywhere. Silly, all that Monty Python stuff. And that was good, but it didn't leave people much room to go anywhere. And it's almost like comedy in England has gone too far now and too anarchic. And because they say, you know, four-letter words on the TV sometimes, you know, they've nowhere left to go. Here it is more restrained, and you do laugh at yourselves here, but it takes you more time, you know, and it's a less cynical, pessimistic view of the world everyone seems to have here. So it can get a bit too ridiculous in England.
Yeah. Was it a risk for you to come here? I mean, after all, the Pythons were very popular. Benny Hill was very popular. But Rowan Atkinson.
More girls having Velcro bikinis ripped off.
Rowan Atkinson came to do a one-man show in New York and bombed. Nobody liked him and didn't understand him. And here you are, a nice British girl coming over to make it in America.
I had a big help coming here initially because of the records and being on MTV for a week. And they have nothing to lose, you know. It's like the Fox Network, the time with now. They've got nothing to lose, really. It's a brand new network. They can take some chances. And I've been here a while. I've been here 3 years now. I studied Americans. I've watched a lot of TV. I mean, I was pregnant here. I still wander around the Beverly Center in stretch pants going, I look like a pudding, help me. And it took it all in. I mean, it's nothing worse than British people coming thinking they can just hop over the pond, lovey, and clean up dollars-wise. You've got to study it a bit here and work out what makes the Americans tick a bit more.
You had to learn then to...
I used to sit at home when I was pregnant and watch reruns of all the old shows and get a bit of a grounding in Americana.
Like which ones?
Jim Brooks used to give me tapes of your show of shows with Sid Caesar and Imogene Coker and Ernie Kovacs, and I watched all the I Love Lucy and all that, and all the Mary Tyler Moores again and the Odd Couple, and I mean, Leave It to Beaver. I mean, no, we never got that in England, so I just so much Leave It to Beaver and the Gong Show and just everything, because you've got to get a grounding in everything, otherwise you don't know anything about it.
Right, and... Well, you'd done films as well. I mean, you were in Plenty and Give My Regards to Broad Street. Did you ever mimic Meryl Streep?
Hi, sweetie. Hi, Peanut.
That's
Meryl. Hi, Peanut.
Did you ever do it in front of her?
No. Well, she's a great gal. She's good to work with. She's a good laugh. She mimics. She's great. She can do any accent.
I read an interview with you where you had said that Plenty was sort of, just a bit of... not fluff wasn't the word, light relief.
Well, people were so kind about my performance, or so enthusiastic about it, but it was such a depressing movie for a lot of people. It was such a tough subject to deal with, a woman's very slow mental breakdown over 30 years. And, of course, every time I came on, I had something witty or maybe funny to say, and so people said, you were so funny in that movie. But I I'm not a great one at building my own self up, so I just said, it was a bit of light relief when I came on, you know.
Now with the new season, the second season of the Tracy Ullman Show, are there going to be any changes? Have you found some things that perhaps didn't work as well as you would like, or characters that you're going to be keeping?
Yeah, of course, that's the nature of the show. I mean, it's because it's a variety show, it's never the same any one week. So we have ideas all the time. It's forming. I mean, there are characters at work that will come back, but you know in your mind when they've lived their usefulness. And
who's coming back? Is Tina coming back?
Oh, yeah, Tina and Meg are two. I've got to bring her back because I've got to perfect that accent.
The Postal Queen's Service,
accent.
Yes.
Yeah. The Postal Service girls, they'll be back. Kay will be back, and Francesca, because we must find out whatever happened to Francesca's mother. Why did her father go gay? And we just try anything. That we're going to have the Kiki Howard Smith back, the Australian golfer, I liked. I liked doing her because I love the Australian mentality. It's just so different from the American mentality.
In what way? What do you mean?
It's like girls, you know, they're a bit rough, you know, and you know, they don't get it, you know, that you're going to analysts and all things like that. Now it's all a bit weird, isn't it? And I like doing Australian because they're not all just bang a shrimp on the barbie for me, you know.
Right. Is there room for anything else? I mean, you've got a daughter now, and are any films more?
No, I mean, this show, I get to do everything I want to do. I'm really fulfilled at the moment. I get to sing, dance, act, be myself, you know, mess around. Mabel comes in, treats the set like a playground, starts throwing stuff around.
How old is she, 2, 3?
She's 16 months and has no respect for props at all. The prop women are so nice to her. Hi, honey, have a candy, you know. So she's going to be a Beverly Hills kid. Oh, no. Well, I don't have time for anything else, and I'm happy with this.
Right. And we don't have any more time either.
All right, then.
My guest has been Tracy Ullman, a well-known actress, singer, and comedian in her native England. She's now entertaining American television audiences in her new series on the Fox Broadcasting Network. The Tracy Ullman Show, by the way, has just received 4 Emmy Award nominations. I'm Leanne Hansen, and this is Fresh Air.